Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. We're glad you've joined us to listen to a message from our pastor, Ashley Ellison. We believe God's word is powerful and that it can be applied to our lives so that we may live victoriously. Let's join Pastor Ashley now as he shares the word with us.
Well, Sunday, if you were here, we talked about change. We talked about New Year's resolutions, what you're going to do with change. And we talked about three areas and foundational truths of what salvation is, how you get into living your salvation, and letting your salvation cause transformation in your life. True Christianity, let me just say this, is not behavior modification. Now, you have to know that. It's not something that in and of yourself that you are going to make a change in life. It's all because of what God has done, is doing, and will do. And so we talked about that Sunday. If you weren't here Sunday, I really want to encourage you. Listen to the podcast. Watch it. It's available on video, or you can listen to it in audio. Everything in Christianity starts on the inside and works its way out. Everything starts on the inside and works its way out. The world, though, their view of making a change, everything you've got to get from the outside, and the world's trying to work it into you. But change happens by you accepting Jesus. First, the new birth. Second, being a living sacrifice. And third, the renewing of your mind. So, tonight, I got a lot to talk about. If you have a notebook, I believe that tonight will make a big difference, because this is what I couldn't get all done on Sunday, and I knew I'd have to do more. But and I usually don't do a Sunday and then a Wednesday, but I just felt like this is really important right before we get ready to share our vision, because we have started a new year, and the new year just really, it does something in us that there's new coming. There's new coming into our life. And so when we talk about being transformed, we've got to know what it means to be transformed. We've got to know what it means to be changed. And if you were here, I just want to reiterate one thing that was said on Sunday. The Greek word that we talked about was so impactful is metamorpha. And it means something that happens supernaturally that causes change. And we use the illustration of a caterpillar and a butterfly. And then we also use the illustration of a tadpole and a bullfrog. And what happens in that change, they call metamorphosis. And we learned that in school. If you didn't, that word may come back to mind. You go, oh yeah, that's where they got that word from, the Greek word metamorpha. And so I just love that, because we all understand that for change to take place in the life of a Christian, it's not in and of yourself, it's not behavior modification, it is something that you have happened to you supernaturally. It's something that you couldn't have done in and of yourself, it just had to come supernaturally. We all have coworkers, family, maybe even friends, that we have seen want change. They purposed in their heart at one point to change, and because they couldn't get that change, they just gave up and lived frustrated. I don't believe that I'm speaking to that right now, because you're in church on a Wednesday night. Obviously, you're wanting to learn and you're wanting to receive, but we all have friends and family that's gave up. Some of us have kids, some of us have parents, that we hear stories about a transformation at one time that took place, but we've watched them give up on the change that they say one day they experienced. And they fell away from the things of God, if you will. And sometimes it's not just the things of God. We've watched people lose 150 pounds and then gave 250 back. I mean, that's just the one that everybody does at the beginning of the year, so I just throw that one out. We don't see a lot of it visibly, but you can know that there are people who just tried to get rid of an addiction, and they may have quit for a season, and then they're addicted again. They have tried to maintain relationships, and now they just, once again, they're in frustration in relation. I don't know what it is, but they're wanting change. They experienced it for a while, and then they fell away. What they never got, and what I want to teach tonight, is how does change really take place in the life of a Christian? You couldn't get this accomplished in just two messages. And you couldn't even do it in a whole series. That's why I want you to know church culture is important. Because over time and continuing to learn more and more, it's being part of a church and the culture of church that allows you to stay moving into more and more of God. Not giving up on change. And there are times that we fall back and we're like, why did I do that? We lost our temper and we'd gone 8 months without losing it. We've been working really hard here and then all of a sudden what happened? Staying in church, getting equipped to go out and do the work and the ministry that God's called us to do, you've got to know that that culture will produce over time change. So I applaud you for being here tonight. Let me start with giving you two constants that you can know as a Christian that there are in change. The first one is God never changes. God never changes. That's why we have to. Because God doesn't change. It's us that has to do the change. In Malachi 3, verse 6, I am the Lord, and I do not change. I mean, it's just that simple. It also says in Hebrews 13, 8, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Church, you have to know, God doesn't change. And success in your Christian life comes from you getting to a place that you're not running to God every time something happens and trying to get Him to change His mind on something. God, would you just change your mind about this? I mean, I know that you said I ought to marry this person, but I need out now. Whatever it is, we've all seen that we've went to God and hoped that His plan would be okay for us to go against. Now, that's not a place for a lot of amens because nobody wants to admit they've been there, but everybody in the Christian life has been there at some point. Your way's smarter than His. Your plan is better than His. You don't like where you're at. You didn't want to be where you're at right now at this season of life. People trying to get God to sign off. God, if you'll just sign off on my plan. Because I got one, and we have all done that. God, would you please okay this? Would you please do this? God is not changing, and He's not changing to meet your plan or what you consider your need. That's just not who He is. The second point with a constant in change is everything and everyone does change. God doesn't change. Everyone else and everything else changes. We are changing, whether you admit it or not. Look at your pictures from 10 years ago. You are different. You have changed. Now, maybe you haven't changed as much as someone else, but you changed. Change occurs not just physically, but in all areas of life, whether you want to admit it or not. Some are changing for good, and some are changing for not so good. You know, if you remove yourself from whatever you removed yourself from, change will occur in what you removed yourself from, and it will occur in your life for whatever you removed yourself, and sometimes that's good and sometimes that's bad. A building that is vacated, come on, you guys all know this, a building that is vacated will decay quicker than a building that is occupied. It's just, that's the way, see, you take the life out of something, even a building, and it decays. And it does it way quicker than it would outside of life being in it. You can put people like you and I in a building, and you can know this, if it didn't have someone in it and I go in it, all of a sudden the consistency of being in that building will produce a positive change because life produces a positive change. Let me just tell you, the Zoe, the God kind of life, produces a change for the better. Life in something gives that something life. Let me just pause there for effect. So when you remove yourself from something, especially when it's something that was good, then you experience death in that something. this is not really that deep as I'm probably making it sound. But when you remove yourself from something that was harmful and you remove yourself from it, it brings death to that something. You remove yourself from a computer in your private time that's wreaking havoc upon your mental state. Some of you need to get rid of a computer. Some of you need to go back to a flip phone. Because you can't handle the private time. Are you hearing me? So when you remove yourself from that, you don't give it life anymore and it decays. I want you to hear this point because it's phenomenal. And for years, I've dealt with marriages, my own included, that has a lot of complaints. She's not the woman I married. Yeah, and you're not the man she married either. See, there as time, you can know the second point of a constant is you will change. And we're trying to do everything we can to not or to change for either better and get better, but you can know that in life people will change. You can count on it. And it always happens. The thing that I can tell you is prayerfully in a marriage, you start your change and things get better, not worse. But there are some things that just really, really, are you never going to change here? Oh, I'm trying. Here's what happens. You just can know that people are going to change, and sometimes that change, if God's not in it and they don't get the God concept of change, it goes worse. It doesn't go better. But if you'll get the points I want to talk about tonight, I believe that some of you can implement these and they'll make a change, these points implemented and understanding the way God operates, that will benefit and bless your life. If it's just from weight, if it's just from a computer, it's from addiction, it's from you okaying a lifestyle that you didn't used to okay, and now you're okaying it again. We've watched people fall away. I've watched it in church over 18 years. I've seen people are on fire for God. They couldn't take enough notes, and the next thing you know, they hate God or they hate the church. I've just seen it time and time again, not just this church, in churches all over. I've just helped so many people with the concept of change, and what I found out, I know people don't like it. They just don't like change. I just don't want change. I don't want to change. I don't want, and if you're getting ready to change something, I'm leaving. And it's not just the non-Christians that'll say things like that or think them. Christians think it. So I ask you tonight, why do people fear change so much? Why are they, their reaction is so adverse to any type of change? People get uncomfortable when we start talking about something new or different. It's an uncomfortable position. Proverbs 13, verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. In the New King James Version, the second part of that says, but when desire comes, it's a tree of life. Hope to change something, and there's a lot of people that have a hope to change something. We recognize things that we need to change. We recognize them, and God will even bring them on our heart and on our life, and we're like, okay, I have a hope that I'm going to change this year. You know, for the first couple of weeks of the new year, y'all are probably doing pretty good. Got a couple of people, a couple of guys actually, that we're reading through the Bible this year and trying to hold each other accountable, just a couple people. And I'm sitting here thinking this through, and we're trying to read through, and we're doing this. And here's the thing, we're all right on right now. Well, we're 4 days. I'll have to say Merlin's one of them. And I said, how's it going? He goes, man, I'm doing good the first three. I said, today's day four. But Merlin said, I know that. I do that for bed tonight. Whenever he'll get it. But we get a hope to change something. And then when we see that deferred and not happening, you know what it happened? It makes the heart sick. It makes you sick. It makes you frustrated with yourself. That's why I'm talking about this right here in the first few days of the new year. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled, which means change that happened and fulfillment happens, it brings life. It's a tree of life. It grows. And I'm talking about it's good. It's sickening to see the need to change and you even try to implement some things for change, and for whatever reason, you give up and heartache happens. That's a biblical concept right out of Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. We've had a lot of people talk about the need to change. You know, as I grew up, I'd hear this message a lot, and they'd stop right where I'm at. Come on, church, we need some change here. The offering's down, this isn't happening, something's going on, and we need a change. And we start talking about we need a change, and I'm like, I'm ready, let's go. And then they don't tell you how. I've watched it forever. Pastors my whole life. I watched President Trump make America great again. Well, that was good for 4 years. Now where are we at? Let's get him back. No, we don't need him again. It was a campaign slogan. Make America great. That's all wonderful, but if we don't have a plan to get there and we don't stick to the plan, we're out. Everyone talks about a need for change, but there's so many that are unwilling to outline what is needed for change to occur. And I'm trying, as pastor of Christian Ministries Church, to teach on a real frequent basis how we can implement change into our life that will benefit the kingdom, because we're all changing, but we serve a God who never does. Now, I'm talking about it now, and I'm going to continue to try to teach it, but so many want everyone else to change, but they don't want themselves. And they'll recognize the area that so-and-so, now they need to change. Come on, this is real big in marriage. I can tell you everything Michelle needs to change to make our marriage great. And she can tell me everything I need to change to make my marriage great. Whatever. We're all the time caught up on being able to tell anybody else, but we don't spend enough time working ourselves in the areas that we want everybody else to work. Well, if they just do this, this, and this, the problem is you're not doing this, this, and this. So we got to take this off of amening a sermon for everybody else and say, what can I do with this? What can I do? So much of what I preach today is preaching what I wish I would have had somebody tell me. I mean, really, for the last 18 years, I'm trying to make up for what I didn't learn the other 20 before that. Well, the other 34 before that. I'm preaching what I wish I would have heard, and in some cases, I'm preaching what I finally did hear, and it ended up changing my life. So I want you to know that change has to happen, and it has to happen supernaturally. So many marriages are split because one finally says, you're never going to change, and I'm out of here. Let me give you a psychological fact here. Change at a 90% rate and above, there's a lot of different studies on this, but a promise of change usually lasts for 2 weeks. It usually lasts for 2 weeks. And if you're on a Bible plan, that's why most people, and you've heard me say this, have read Genesis, if that's where your Bible plan starts, because you can do that for about 2 weeks. In and of themselves, based on their own will, they can make change happen in about 2 weeks' time period. Now get this, change does start with the will, but in 2 weeks they revert back to where they were. People will quit smoking for 2 weeks, people will quit an addiction for 2 weeks, and then in 2 weeks their own will can only take them that far and then they're back. Now, change does start with will, and while it begins with a choice, change is not accomplished with willpower. It goes right back to my original point. It's not behavior modification. See, the change is not accomplished by your own will. Christians so often try to fight sin with their will. They try to be good with their will. They try to access change for their life by their own, well, I want to. And I'm telling you, in 2 weeks, you'll give up if you don't get some of these principles. I had to go from trying to change based on my own will to trusting God to be my author and my finisher, and my change agent for His glory. Trusting God and cooperating with His process. These are the things that I have dealt with. These are the things I want to change. These are the things. See, I've got 100 of them, as you should. Because you're going to change. The question is, what are you going to change into? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I got to move on. Verse 10. New covenant grace is way more powerful and way more glorious than Old Testament glory. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 10. It's talking here, comparing Moses, and you've got to compare Moses to Jesus in this, because it's Old Testament here. But 2 Corinthians 3:10 in the New Testament says, in fact, that first glory was not glorious at all compared with the overwhelming glory of the new way. So if the old way, which has been replaced with glorious, how much more glorious is the new, which remains forever? Permanent change. Since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. We're not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. Exodus 33, and you don't have to turn there. God showed his glory to Moses. It was so bright, it revealed his glory in such a powerful way that just the reflection of it, when the Israelites saw it, they ran. It freaked them out. They couldn't handle it. The glory was so... So there was a veil that Moses put over there. He was in, you've heard, the cleft of the rock. He got in to the cleft of the rock to hide, so as the Lord passed by, even the rear side of him passing by was so powerful that it consumed Moses, and he come down to the people, and the reflection that was coming off of what he had experienced was so powerful. They were like, oh, I can't handle it. Growing up, I don't know if you ever heard, no one could look in the face of God because it'd instantly kill you. And I thought, well, that's not a good God. I remember thinking that as a child. A good God in all his goodness, I look at his goodness and it'll kill me? That doesn't make any sense. That's not what it really means that he's killing you. God is so good that even after we've been born again, the full glory of God is still too much. It's too much. Have you heard, go kill him with kindness? Anybody ever taught that or heard that phrase? Go kill him with kindness. We would collapse seeing the glory of God. He is that good. As good as you think you are, I'm telling them, the goodness of God, we couldn't handle. They couldn't handle the glory that had been on Moses. And here's the deal. It's still a problem today. Let me explain. Man is so fallen that they can't even handle hearing about the goodness of God. I watch it on television. A Christian trying to talk to a non-Christian, and they start bringing biblical concepts up and they can't handle it. Man, God loves us so much. He wants us to experience his goodness, but man doesn't want to hear it because they can't handle how great he really is. It's a hard concept, and I could teach on this for a week. I've got to move on. People run from his goodness. And here's the thing. They'll run from you when you're reflecting his glory. It's no different. Come on, you go into work or you go into a situation with kids that are unsaved, parents that are unsaved, family that's unsaved, these family get-togethers. We've all had them over the last few weeks. You're around some of your unsaved family and they like avoid you. And you're wondering what in the world's going on. Don't be surprised by that. You're reflecting his glory. Well, I hope I'm helping somebody. Your reflection of the goodness of God is doing the same thing today that it was doing then. Your relationship is personal. I said this last Sunday, but it is not private. And some are doing everything they can to keep their relationship private. Well, I have a personal, it's just personal. Just because it's personal doesn't make it private. And you've got to quit running from people that are running from you because you've made what was done personally public. That's what we're supposed to do. Make our relationship be seen. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Satan, who is the god of this world, and it's the little g in Scripture, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. They don't get it. They're blinded. Come on, everybody has relatives, friends, or people at a work atmosphere. Hopefully not at Christian Ministries work, but I mean, there are people that are not saved and they're being held in a veil. They're blinded. And they can't see, and they don't want to see. All right, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 14. But the people's minds were hardened, And to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds so they cannot understand the truth. And this veil could be removed only by believing in Christ. Yes, even today, when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with that veil, and they don't understand. Covered. They don't get it. I talk to a lot of people, even in my own family, and when I start talking about the things of the Word, they don't want to hear what I have to say. I'll talk to people here in this church about the same things out of the Word, and I watch them say, yeah, that's good. Wow, I hadn't even thought about that. Some of my favorite conversations are sitting in staff meetings, hearing what Chapman is saying, what Melanie's saying, what Jill, what Rachel's saying about the Word and how it's impacted their life, or what they're teaching on and what they're doing in their areas of ministry, or what they're studying right now. And I'm sitting here and I'm agreeing, and there's power in that. As we get in agreement based on the Word and we're hearing it, we're like, yes. And if you weren't here last Wednesday, you need to hear what Chapman was talking about on perception. I preached it for the last 7 days. We got to look forward in what God has for us and not in the rearview mirror. And I'm sitting here thinking that was so powerful. And I'm thinking about this, and I want to be teachable. But how many times do you start sharing that concept to somebody who don't know Jesus? And it's like, they're looking at you like you're a kook. You're the weirdest person I've ever been around. Hang out with Keith and go leave someone and say, hear what he has to say to someone. You have a blessed day. It's one of his favorite things to say. I watch them. See, I mean, they're turning and walking away from, they're not walking away from Keith. There's a veil in their life. And Keith is still living publicly what he made a decision on personally. He's not living privately. I want to encourage you, don't live privately, even though people will turn away from you. Don't cause you to quit living publicly what you did personally. Am I making sense? Their hearts are covered. They just don't get it. 2 Corinthians 3:15. Their hearts are covered. They don't get it. People's response to this pandemic over the last 2 years. I mean, people have been blinded. They've been blinded to the gospel. Because I've watched an entire world just jump off a cliff, and a lot of them are Christians, removing the Word of God as applicable in their life and yielding to science instead of the Word. When they come into conflict as a Christian, you yield to the Word. Now hear me. Christians are blinded because they quit worshiping God. They're not yielded to God. They're not giving a biblical response based on what's going on in our world. Christians were given the CDC response. They weren't given a God response. There's nothing in the Word that says go private. Stay home. There's nothing in the Word that says that you're not important and that this job is and this job's not. No, we're all important. And I think we've started to see a little bit more of that. But there are so many Christians that all of a sudden this pandemic caused a veil. The government has no rights to keep you from living according to the Word in the name of health. And I will say that as long as you'll know me, I will never be okay to come against the Word on the benefit of what they say will benefit mankind. What will benefit mankind is the Word of God. And that's the change we need. I digress. I got to go. I got to move on. So easy to see unveiled, but you got to know that you're going to continually be attacked when you yield to the Word and you're talking to someone who is not. It's tough. You need to know that you know what is of God. How do you know what's the devil? And how do you know what's God? How do you know? The devil's about bondage, about chains, about darkness, and God's always about freedom and liberty. You can just know that. We need to know that God is with us. He's protecting his people. Fear doesn't need to come in the heart of man. Let's just talk the Word. Change is only going to be taking you to freedom. And if change is taking you to bondage, it's wrong. That's why I never stood up for what they were saying in this world. You can't go shop. You can only go here. You can only do that. I've got a problem with all of that because change is in the kingdom takes us to freedom and liberty. And when the world's trying to take us into bondage, just know that was a precursor to what we'll be fighting if we don't get some Christian change to living based on the Word of God. And if that offends you, come talk to me. But you better come with Scripture, not a world's response. I said I'd digress and I went further. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I don't guess I digress that much. All right, 2 Corinthians 3, 18. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. Boy, I love this verse. This verse is so giant. There's seven quick things that I'm going to do in 6 minutes out of this verse. And if I go over two, I'm going to ask your forgiveness before I start. Quickly, supernatural change in your life comes from within. It comes from within. What's within, we talked about on Sunday. When you were born again, you got in your spirit Jesus, the Prince of Peace. He's not freaked out about anything that's going on. Why? Because He has us. He has us, His people, who are submitted to His way. And if you're going to experience change in your life, number one of the seven, this verse, let's just break down 2 Corinthians 3:18, says, so all of us, everybody say all of us. We all, it says in some translations, we all. Change is not just for the elect. It's not just for certain people. God wants all of us to be changed. He's not picking and choosing, okay, you, not you, you, okay, not you. Boy, I wish you could change, but you just can't. You can. He says all of us, all of us, all of us. We're all His favorite. I used to think that certain people I was around, I'm like, man, God must just have him. He's one of God's favorites. I wish I could be. We're all God's favorite. And our pictures are all on His fridge. Just a different way to think about it. I like that response. That was good, sir. Some think it's impossible for God to change something in us. But God wants us all to be agents of change. Why? Because He gave us all Jesus. Number two, the veil is removed. You can see. The veil is so oftentimes self-imposed. It's blind because you don't want to see. We're going to see things. We're going to see things that we haven't seen as we grow in His likeness. We need to not put a veil over our Christianity. We've been talking about that. Sharing your change, sharing it. Many people won't share what Jesus is doing in your life. I ought to be able to go around the room right now and say, what's Jesus doing in your life? What's He doing in your life? And we ought to say, let me just tell you, He's doing great and mighty things. What's Jesus doing in your life? Are you ready to answer that and share the faith that He has implemented through His word into your heart and life? The veil should be removed because change should be real. There is a veil that's put on, but it's not by Christ. It's because people can't handle Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. Number three, reflecting the glory. In some translations, it says, behold the glory. Moses beheld the glory of God. He reflected it. It was a part of him. He put himself in the presence of the glory. When he came off the mountain, he put a veil over his face, and that veil in and of itself began to fade. So many look at life, at what once changed for them and the glory they once experienced, and then it started fading. Why did it fade? Because we live life in the rearview mirror, not in the front. We're not looking, we're living on past experiences. We are progressively to be moving forward. All right, by beholding, you have to live, not living, I was once beheld. I'm beholding, that's present tense. We camp out on an experience and an emotional high that happened last year when I was 20 years old, and we talk about it, and we never move forward. We're always looking backwards, looking through the rearview mirror. Good or bad, supernatural change is canceled when you're living on who you were instead of who you will be. I am going to be, I am, and I was. Praise God, but what I was will never be a reflection of who I am. My reflection is who Jesus is. This verse is powerful. The Lord, who is the Spirit, is your reflection, number four. You cannot see the spirit world with physical eyes. You can't contact the spirit with your emotions. You need to know your five physical senses connect you to this world, but faith connects you to the spiritual world. It's through faith. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not real. And your mirror is the Bible. The Word was with God and the Word was God, John chapter 1. The mirror is the Word of God, and that's how you start seeing yourself. How do I know that I know that I'm a joint heir with Jesus? How do I know that I'm in the head, I'm not the tail? How do I know that I'm more than a conqueror? I'm blessed going in, I'm blessed going out. Wherever I am, I'm blessed. How do I know that? Because I look in the mirror of the Word of God, and it tells me who I am. That happens spiritually, and you stick with it. But when it all has to come down to your five physical senses, you'll be a world follower. You won't be a word follower. The Holy Spirit continues to show you, and the only way He can show you is in His Word, and that's the mirror you have to be looking in. If you're not reading the Bible right now, you need to start. Number five, we are made or we are changed. The transformation or change in our lives is not done by us. It was initiated by the Spirit, and we yielded, and He changed us. If you're expecting yourself to be the result of change, you'll make it 2 weeks. Come on, did you hear that? It's a spiritual change that's done by us accessing the Word spiritually. Number six, we're changed into His image. We're more like Him. What is the image of God? Here's a question for you. What is the image of God? Jesus. Jesus is the image of God. Jesus is God's glory manifested among us. If you're born again, then you are to know Christ is in you. And you need to see that Christ in you is your hope, your refuge, your change agent, if you will. Whatever you are beholding, you need to know this. Whatever you are beholding or whatever you are reflecting, you're going to be changed into that image. If you're beholding anger, you're going to be changed into the image of anger. If you're a victim, every time I turn the corner, everybody's against me. Wow. You start looking like a victim. Wow. See, you become what you behold. You reflect what you behold. If you're beholding offense, everybody knows that you're highly offended. If you're beholding anger, if you're beholding or reflecting, always being a victim, then everybody knows they're a victim. What do you want to reflect? Come on, it's an easy answer. Jesus. So look into the right mirror to get the right reflection. Ooh, that's the Word. In the New King James Version, same verse, and I'm getting to number seven. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Come on, we've heard this verse. Just as by the Spirit of the Lord, to His glorious image, from glory to glory, from glory to glory. If you're going to cooperate with God, you have to know that cooperation is progressive. You never get to a place where you have arrived. There's always a next glory. There's always a next season. There's always a next place. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your life. Don't think, well, I just can't change. It's progressive. That's the way change. Boy, I'm getting goosebumps because I think God's speaking that into some hearts of people right now. My original need for patience was for me. I needed it. But now I'm to a place, as I've got patience and I know that it's in me and I read about it and I study about it and I'm in the Word, I want you to know that not only did I put off the old man that was impatient, I now don't have patience for just me, I have it for other people. God is patient with us. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, that you're patient. Sometimes we need to cut ourselves a little bit of slack. Sometimes we need to be patient with ourselves. Not to use it as an excuse and get stuck, but so that you don't get stuck not wanting change. Prayerfully, you'll be somewhere different than you are now in the next 5 years. I sure hope so. And if we don't learn to be patient with our kids, then we're going to lose relationships with our kids. If we don't learn to be patient with others that don't even know Jesus, then we'll just put that old veil up, or we'll leave the veil there that's already there and let the little god of this world continue to blind people. And we'll just go private with our Christianity. God wants to change us to what many others would like to see themselves changed into. Many people drive people away from themselves because we demand change to be instant. And I've seen it with parents and their kids. I've seen it with friendships. I've seen it with church. Demanding instant change all the time will put you in a position to not be operating according to the way God makes change happen. Aren't you glad he was patient with you in areas that you weren't doing right a year or two ago? All right, I'm done, but I want you to stand as I read this last thing. Y'all stand with me. I said 2 minutes, I went four. Give me two more. I know I'm begging. You got to hear this. Change is supernatural. Change is supernatural, and it comes from a supernatural being. It comes from God, who's above the natural. So change is supernatural. And if you've been born again and you have lived being a place where I'm a living sacrifice, I am renewing my mind daily, and you'll take this verse out of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, and you'll make the application into your own life and make it progressive. Don't get stuck where you were 5 years. If you look back in the last 5 years and you're not where you were 5 years ago with the Lord, change is still available for you, and there's a glory that's the next step. And you may have to get from the glory that you left. You walked away from it. God didn't go nowhere because God doesn't change. And if you're blaming everybody else, then you're looking to the wrong person. If you're looking to the pastor for your change, you'll miss it. If you're looking to this church to be your change agent, you'll miss it. I'm doing everything I can to preach the word of God so that you can take it, put him where he needs to be in the spirit, man. Die to self, renew the mind, and get to a place where change is supernatural, and it doesn't come from you just making a decision initially. It comes from you accessing the one who makes the change. I'm not changing for me. This is a personal declaration that I'm giving you, and I pray it'll be yours. I prayed about this. I'm not changing for me. I'm not changing for my wife, and I've done it 100 times, and I've failed her. I'm not even changing for my kids. God is changing me, and he's doing it for his glory and for his purpose and benefiting the kingdom of God. And if you don't get to a place that you want to change because you want God to use you, you've got the wrong motivation. And I pray this message will speak into your life. Some of you needed to hear, give your kids patience, but don't quit praying for them. And don't go private with what happened to you personally. There's a lot in this tonight. You may need to get a copy of it. Well, we don't do that anymore. Get on podcast. But you may need to listen to it over and over again, because I'm telling you, God has revealed some areas, and I wasn't preaching to one person tonight. I was preaching the word of God for all. Yeah. Go right back to 2 Corinthians 3:18. It's for all. It's for all of us. As we enter 2023, I pray this blesses you and this message encourages you.
Thank you for being part of our podcast today. You'll find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There's a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.